What's up, everyone? Welcome to Fightful. I'm Denise Salcedo. Welcome to the stream. Today, we are going to be chatting all things New Japan Pro Wrestling, Wrestle Kingdom 16, Night 1 and Night 2. First and foremost, thank you guys so much for joining me. I know I don't normally get to do solo live streams here on Fightful, so today is a very exciting one. Every now and then, I get to do one of those, so I'm very excited to kind of get started because we got so much to talk about. We literally have several matches that went down that took place in both night one and night two of Wrestle Kingdom. We got some pretty good stuff, especially when it comes to the main event scene. And I would say that for the most part, we had two polar opposite days. We had Wrestle Kingdom night one that was kind of not that great. We had some good main events, but other than that, the show was kind of like, it wasn't necessarily the greatest. And then we had night two, which was pretty dang good. At least I would say, I think from like the top of the card to like the end of the card, I thought it was a pretty solid night. So night two definitely kind of turned things around for New Japan. So I enjoyed myself. But before we get started, I do want to let you guys all know, as you already know here, if you do send in a super chat or a humper chat at any point in the stream, it very much helps me out. It helps Fightful out, just continues to help us grow and, you know, all of that good stuff. And I will make sure to read your comment, your statement, or your question here on the air. So if you guys want to get your thoughts in on how you guys felt about Wrestle Kingdom, either night one or night two, you are more than welcome to go ahead and send those in. And we're getting some comments going for the most part. And we got a funny comment here from Von Twin Blade who says, Denise has the power now. I definitely have the power. Unfortunately, the only option, the only person I can mute is myself, which would just be very, very unfortunate. So we're definitely not going to go ahead and do that. Also, before we get started, I do want to let you guys know. So I'm going to be recapping everything in a nice chronological format because I think that just makes things a lot easier. There are going to be some more matches that I talk about more than other matches just because there's more things to say about certain ones than others. And on top of that, I'm going to try to provide you guys with like a little bit of background in terms as to why these matches came about and essentially what the story was as we move forward. So we got our first super chat of the day. So shout out to Von Twin Blade for getting things going on here. Says, Denise has the power. No one can mute her now. No one can mute me. Only myself. I will not do it. So thank you so much to Von Twin Blade for getting us started here with the super chats as well. Once again, guys, you can send in a super chat or you can also send in a humper chat. Joe Pearl is monitoring this stream here for me today. He has posted the link in the comments section. If you guys do want to go ahead and send in a humper chat, and he will make sure to, you know, categorize it and, you know, place it all in the match as we get to, so that once we start talking about a certain match, it'll immediately pop up there and we'll make sure to talk about all of that here today. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Wrestle Kingdom Night 1, Sho versus Yo. All right, so I kind of already said that Night 1 wasn't necessarily the greatest and it kind of bummed me out, guys. I don't know how many of you guys watch the show and how many of you are just listening to the review, but I feel that Night 1 kind of got me like a little bit it didn't get me like excited. Like I was looking forward to the show and then night one just kind of like brought me down. I didn't feel like as hot and ready as I thought that I was going to feel. And so I was, Sho versus Yo, the opening match of night one, was one of the matches that I was very much looking forward to. Like I was very excited about, you know, I've been a fan of them since, you know, they were teaming up with Roppongi 3K. So I was definitely, you know, a fan of theirs and a fan of the story. Because, you know, Sho and Yo have broken up. They're no longer a team. Obviously, you know, they're here today, you know, fighting and whatnot. But they've been broken up now, you know, for several months, happened in, back in 2021. So it's been a hot minute. So we essentially saw Sho turn on Yo to basically align himself with the House of Torture. Now, one of the common things that I think you're going to be hearing a lot on this show is just how much I am not a fan of the House of Torture. Like, I legitimately, guys, I cannot not stand, I can't stand the House of Torture. And a lot of the stuff that they were involved in from both night one and night two was absolutely killing me. But here's the thing. I think that the problem with the House of Torture, honestly, and the reason why I can't get behind them or why I can't get invested in their matches is because they always rely too much on outside interference. And so you know it's coming and then it ends up happening. And for me, it's like, I don't want to have to like know that I'm always going to be getting these outside interferences in this match. And for me, in my honest opinion, Sho is somebody who is so talented and he should be seen as a level or like be on the level of like Hiromu Takahashi or somebody like that. And for him to essentially be in the House of Torture, I feel is sort of, it's kind of holding him back. I feel like the character, the gimmick isn't allowing him to really show his full ability that he's able to do. Like in this match against Yo, we saw glimpses of like Sho and like the stuff that he's really good at. And whenever we did see glimpses of that Sho, that's when this match was actually good. But other than that, I didn't think it was a strong opener. I thought that it could have been a lot better. And it kind of unfortunately set the tone for a night that was going to be a little bit underwhelming. We did see that outside interference was, I was mentioning, we do see a lot. We saw Dick Togo essentially distract the referee and Sho ends up tapping out, but the referee misses that. But in the end, we do see Yo win with a roll up. So it was kind of a disappointing match. And like I said, I think it's kind of holding back Sho to be part of the House of Torture. So let's get some thoughts, guys. Already starting off with some controversy. How did you guys feel about this match? Let's go ahead and see what you guys are saying. This is a super chat from Sheldon Jackson. Thank you so much to Sheldon. Sheldon says, the House of Torture is bad. It's predictable and evil is not a main eventer, no matter how hard they try. And here's the thing, like, obviously we'll talk about evil a little bit more as we continue on and, you know, talk about his matches and all of that good stuff. But I hate to say it, guys, like for the majority of the show, I'm going to have to bury the House of Torture. And let me tell you guys something. So really quickly, like this wrestling schedule this week has been insane, especially since I'm covering like pretty much every single show. So I've literally been waking up at 6, 7 a.m. to watch Wrestle Kingdom, and I'm done like about like 8:39, depending on what time I started, and watching the House of Torture matches at like 6, 7 a.m. when I'm still half asleep. It was torture. But either way, we'll go ahead and continue on. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for getting in that super chat. We got a couple of comments here. This one is from Roman, who says, I can't stand the House of Torture. It's the least spicy take in the whole Western wrestling fandom. Because it's true. You can't argue if it's true, right? Well, we'll see. I hope that no hardcore House of Torture fans are in this stream, because then they're going to completely bury me and kill me in the comments. But we got, I think for the most part, we got a couple of people agreeing with me here today. All right, guys, let's go ahead and continue on and continue talking about Wrestle Kingdom Night 1. Let's get into the next match. We had Hiroshi Tanahashi, Taguchi teaming up with Rocky Romero and versus Kenta El Fantasmo and Taiji Ishimori. So this, to be honest, guys, this should have been the opening match. I thought that for the most part, if I'm comparing the opener and I'm comparing it to the six man here, I thought that this one was just so much more livelier. It got off to a harder start, that's for sure, because they started moving, you know, in a faster pace. And for me, that's a good like, if you're going to have no, like for me, opening matches, I prefer them to be, you know, a fast pace to really get the tone set for the night. So I kind of thought that this one was a little bit stronger on that end, but it was a little fun. It wasn't the greatest match, but it was still a little bit fun. But really what it was just a preview of the day two matches, because obviously, you know, day two, we saw Kenta and Tanahashi. So we saw a little preview of that in this match here. So that's pretty much what this was. One of my things that I liked was obviously, I think the funny parts were Taguchi, you know, selling the buns of steel, since he was, you know, been promoting that for a bit, doing that gimmick for a tad. So having him go out there and do the buns of steel stuff, that was pretty funny. Let's see what else was good. We saw Tanahashi essentially get Kenta with the kendo sticks and ends up DQing himself. So Tanahashi snapping and doing the DQ, I think, falls in line with the story, which falls in line with the story that they've been telling. And it also, again, previews their match that we saw on day two, which was phenomenal. So we will talk about that once we actually get to day two. But in the meantime, let's see if you got any comments on this match here. If not, we're going to go ahead and move on. Once again, guys, humperchats.com. If you want to send in your humper chat, you can. If not, you can send in a super chat, and hopefully I do good, because if I do bad, I'm not going to get another show. So you guys can go ahead and send those in as we continue on. But let's see what we got here, guys. This one is from Zeno Hour, who says that night one was decent overall. Haven't finished night two yet, but the flow feels a lot better. It's definitely a lot better. Like 100%, not even joking. Definitely a lot better. Let's move on because we got plenty to talk about. We had the United Empire, Will Ospreay, Jeff Cobb, and the Great Okan versus Los Ingobernables of Naito, Sanada, and Bushi. This one was okay. Again, similar to the previous match, this was previewing the day two matches between Sanada and the Great Okan, Naito and Cobb. The only things that I would say about this match is that it had a little bit of a boring start, and the only time this match was good was when Will Ospreay was essentially in there getting all this offense and basically like just adding flavor to this match, man. But everything else for me was kind of just there. I did like in the beginning of this match, we saw Will Ospreay essentially sitting out in a chair, basically saying that he was going to let Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan do the heavy lifting. Obviously, given the fact that he has, a major upcoming match on night two, why the hell not? I did like that. But honestly, it was when he went into this match that this match actually began to step up. But we did see the Will Ospreay, Jeff Cobb, and Great Okan get the win fairly quickly. Not a terrible match, not a great match either. And this is what I hate, man. Like, I hate that, like, day one, I feel like I have to say that a lot about a couple of matches, given the fact that they weren't that great. However, this next match, this was my favorite, I would say, yes, my favorite match of the night. And I think that this was the first match of the show that I kind of felt like, all right, here we go. Like, this not only has like this, great story to it as to why we're even here, why we're even having this match, but also like just the actual execution of it. Like, this was the one thing to me that was really worth watching day one. And the match that I'm talking about is Shibata versus Ren Narita. That was honestly the best match of the night. Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what was going on with this and, kind of why this match was so good and why it was really worth, tuning in to night one of Wrestle Kingdom. So Shibata is, returning from a brain injury that nearly killed him. And he was out for, I think, 4.5 years, everybody. So that is, that's something serious. You probably, weren't expecting to see him back, etc. So to be able to have him, be out here having this match, I think was just like already a feel good moment within itself, because it's like, dude, like you overcame this, a brain injury. Like from what I gather, like I know that, I don't know like all the details of this, but I know like, obviously he was bleeding from the brain, and I don't want to get into those gruesome details, but it really just kind of paints the picture for you as to why this was, pretty special to see him out there in this match with Ren Narita, who literally just came back from excursion. And I think a lot of people were probably wondering like, hey, why did they put Ren Narita against Shibata in this match? And the reason for that is New Japan sees Ren Narita as a star, and he's also one of Shibata's best students. So I honestly think it was the right call to have Ren Narita in this match against Shibata. So let's talk about it, because this was good. So this was supposed to be a grappling match, a catch wrestling match. So to kind of protect Shibata, again, we mentioned the injuries. So to kind of protect him, that was the original intent of this match. However, at the top of this match, he essentially announced that it would be a regular match. So we got into this, and dude, this was really good. So I think what made this match feel very entertaining was that this was a bunch of high-level grappling. The grappling that you were seeing between these two guys was so phenomenal. Just kind of seeing them just like following all of it was really brilliant. It was cool to see how they went from one thing to another thing. It was a fun way to follow it. On top of that, they had a lot of strikes exchanged between the both of them, but it looked different. And the best way to describe the striking between both of them in this match is that they made it look very, very real, but not dangerous. Like, I don't know how else to describe the striking other than that. Like, it looked very real, but not to the point where you're like, oh, like I'm cringing, you know, seeing this. No, instead, it was just very, very, very entertaining. So honestly, hate to bury House of Torture, but like even just 2 minutes of this match, way better than anything from House of Torture. But either way, this was honestly the first good match of the night. And if you don't have time to, you know, devote, you know, however many hours to Wrestle Kingdom, I would at least suggest going out and making sure to watch this match here. Let's see what we got, guys. Send in any thoughts. Once again, everybody, if you want to get your comments, your questions, or your statement, you can send in a super chat, or you can also send in a humper chat, and I will make sure to read your statement. So let's see what we got here. Let's see if we got any good comments. I probably will pull up some non-super chat ones, but don't tell Sean. This one's from Cookies X4, who says Shibata makes up his own rules. Brilliant. We got people just basically saying some good stuff on here. I think people, for the most part, we're really excited to see him back in the ring and all of that good stuff. Really putting over Shibata and whatnot. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and continue on. Once again, if you guys are on this channel, I do want to remind you, if you haven't subscribed to Fightful already, we are like way past over 60,000 subscribers. This channel has been growing fast, and it has been like we have shows literally every single day, I think, or like almost every single day. So make sure you guys are subscribed if you haven't subscribed already. But now let's move on. Oh God, guys, this next match. Joe Pearl says you can hate on House of Torture, but you can't hate on Dick Togo. That's the rule. Well, thank you so much for putting in these rules here. But let's talk about Evil versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Never Open Weight Championship. Oh God, guys. All right. So Ishii is legitimately one of my favorite people to watch in New Japan. Like, you could put new freaking Ishii against my hand sanitizer and that shit would be good. All right, pardon my language, but it would be phenomenal. And this match against Evil was only good when Ishii was kicking his butt. When Ishii had any sort of offense on Evil, that's when this match was good. They literally kicked it off doing like an exchange with the chairs, you know, back and forth, kind of like swords, but with the chair. There was a moment where they even knocked a person on the outside with the chairs. But literally, we saw like some killer clotheslines from Ishii, which were always great. It's just crazy to me. Like, it's hard to have a bad match with Ishii, and I think Evil accomplished that here. They did a ref bump, which was expected. As I mentioned, this is what they rely on. We see Dick Togo obviously get involved in this match, attacking Ishii, but Ishii essentially, you know, gets back on to, you know, gets his own. He's not going to be taken out. He gives Evil a bunch of headbutts, which I loved, a bunch of lariats. But then in the end, we see Evil get the win with the everything is evil. And I was just kind of like, womp, womp. Not necessarily in love with this one, but let's see. I don't know what else to say, guys. This is from Ten, who says, makes me wonder if House of Torture is literally named that just to torture the viewers and perhaps get cheap heat. I've thought about that. I'm not going to lie to you. I've definitely thought about that, okay? Definitely thought about that. Vash says, boof, this was an overbooked mess. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what else to say, but if you want to describe it that way, for sure. We got JJ the Distraction says, I now need Ishii versus Denise's hand sanitizer. I mean, at this point, guys, damn, that probably would have been better. Anyways, but let's go ahead and move on. We still got a couple more things to highlight on night one. Once again, let's get into Yoshihashi, Hirooki Goto versus the Dangerous Techers, which is the team of Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi for the IWGP Tag Team titles. This was fun. So let's a little bit of like really quickly. So the reason why you're seeing Yoshihashi and Goto in this match is they won the World Tag League to earn this title shot. So that's why they were there. I think truthfully, guys, so I mentioned that I was watching the show super early in the morning yesterday, and I think this was the point of the show where I almost gave up. I thought that this match kind of had a boring start. I wasn't necessarily feeling this one. I think that probably the best part of this match, which I actually enjoyed, was anytime we saw Zack Sabre Jr. in the ring. And the second that he went in, there was a moment that I really loved because he goes into this match, literally takes everybody out, and then is absolutely brutalized. And I mean brutalized by this killer lariat from Goto, which I loved. So that was good. And then this match started to pick up midway, and I was like, all right, cool, like this is picking up. But we did end up seeing new tag team champs in Goto and Yoshihashi. And this was honestly, you know, a feel-good moment because Yoshihashi has been coming into his own, guys. And within the last year, he's been coming into his own. He's been getting more prominent positions. So I think that this was a, you know, nice little feel-good win. But for the most part, the match was really nothing to, you know, be over the moon about. So let's go ahead and continue on. Alrighty, everybody, let's get into, finally, this is where the show starts picking up just a little bit for night one. We have Hiromu Takahashi versus El Desperado for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This is fun, guys. This is a fun one. So, first of all, El Desperado has been having a really good year. So, I think that this kind of just continued that. Hiromu won the best of the Super Juniors, which was why he was in this match. But before we get to that, we got a super chat. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson, who says, I'm glad Yoshihashi finally won the IWGP gold, and I think it's time for Zack to go to the main event. I can't argue with you on that. So thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for sending this very kind super chat. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get into this. So Hiromu Takahashi versus El Desperado, two guys that I'm definitely a big fan of here. So I love this. This is finally the match where I'm like, I love this. I love that. Let's get into it. So this was the beautiful thing about the match. So the beautiful thing about this match, which made it flow and made it very eye-pleasing, was you saw both of these guys really, you know, countering each other back and forth. And the way that they were doing this counter, like, wrestling, it was very interesting to see how they just, like, went from one thing to another thing and how they essentially countered that. And the reason why I particularly like this, you know, so much more and why I feel like I have to rave about it in this conversation is literally because a lot of the time that you see countering, like the way that you were seeing Takahashi and Desperado do, I feel like that is not always easy to do in a way that makes it look very crisp. And they made it look very crisp. I think a lot of times when you see this type of countering, it also looks very choreographed. And this did not have that. Like, this did not look or feel choreographed whatsoever. So for me, it kind of, like, I feel like I have to give it like extra points because that's what really made this match, I think, a little bit more special, was kind of seeing that between both of these guys. Additionally, the story going into this match too is, and this is very important because we're seeing this story in this match and we're seeing it unfold. And that is that Hiromu is essentially the star of the division. Even though he's not the champion, he's, you know, he's still the star, right? So El Desperado was really in this match proving that he is just as every bit as good as Hiromu. And so for me, seeing that kind of brought him up to that next level. Like I already mentioned, he's been having a good year, but moving up to that next level with this performance, I think kind of just added so much to that. Some awesome spots that we saw here was a really nice tope con hero from El Desperado. I really, really loved his split-legged frog splash. Very, very nice. Enjoyed that. Also, I really love that both of these guys, given that they both did excursions in Mexico and CMLL, I really like that they incorporated a lot of that lucha style into this match, which again made it just that much more fun. For the win, we ended up seeing El Desperado hit not one, but two pinche locos, which are the angel wings for the win. So really good match. a perfectly wrestled match. Go out of your way to watch it. This was a good one, a highlight of day one. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on. For those of you guys who want to know what part of the show we are on, we are still on day one, and I'm about to hop into the main event. And then from this, we'll go ahead and jump into night two, which had a lot of really good stuff. All right, guys, let's get into the main event. Okada versus Shingo Takagi for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. I'm trying to decide about how I felt about this one in terms of, I know it wasn't my favorite of the night. I think my favorite were the last match that I just spoke about. I think that was probably my favorite of the night. But this one was still very good. It was a pretty lengthy match, but it was kind of like the beginning of it was simple, but it wasn't boring though. I think that given the fact that obviously both of these guys are really phenomenal workers, I mean, surprised that they had a great match. That's really what it was. They had a good match here. Some of the moments that I really liked was when Okada did that running crossbody on the outside of the ring. That was funny too, because the crowd isn't able to cheer. They're not able to cheer given the fact that there's the COVID restrictions and all of that. And this was I think this got the biggest pop of the night from the crowd, because even they couldn't kind of hold back their reactions to that running crossbody from Okada. So that was really fun. We saw a really nice lariat from Shingo to Okada. We saw my favorite part of this was when Shingo started mocking Okada, and Okada just finally snaps and literally just like starts pounding him left and right. I thought that was probably my favorite portion of this. We saw a really, really cool superplex off the top rope, followed by a sliding lariat, which was very good. Obviously, we saw that beautiful dropkick from Okada. Shingo hits the Made in Japan, but it ends up being a near fall. And then for the win, we end up seeing Okada get the win with multiple lariats. So that was really nice. And post-match, this is obviously the first time that he has won the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship since those titles were essentially unified. So he retires the old belt. That was really nice. I thought it was a really respectful way to say goodbye to this belt, and also, obviously be crowned with the new belt and all of that. So that was really good. Overall, those were the highlights of night one. Three matches, which I really liked, including the two main events and the Shibata match. But now we're going to go ahead and move on to night two, which had really just a lot more, a lot of good top to bottom wrestling. But before we do, guys, a friendly reminder to everybody, if you are in this chat, do not be shy. Go ahead and send in some comments. I will be reading some of those as we go throughout this stream, whether it be about night one or night two. Get in here. Don't be shy. Make sure to leave a comment. On top of that, if you would like, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout this show. I appreciate them. Basically says, hey, Denise, you can come back and do another show. So you can definitely send that in. Or if you want, you can also send in a Humper Chat at humperchat.com. If you have a specific match that you want to talk about, you can get your Humper Chat in on there. We do have Joe Pearl, who is monitoring that entire thing. So I will be getting those as they come in. So you can go ahead and send those as you please. On top of that, before we get into night two, a quick plug, everybody. If you haven't already, I really don't know what you're waiting for. Head on over to FightfulSelect.com. Join over 4,000 patrons right now on FightfulSelect.com. That is the place where you get all of the, the latest news. There's always so much news going on like every single day. And I feel like my inbox is constantly being flooded with breaking news from FightfulSelect.com. So if you want to stay up to date with all of the wrestling and all of the scoops, and additionally get all of these bonus podcasts and news and all of that good stuff, you're more than welcome to head on over to FightfulSelect.com. Make sure you guys subscribe. And again, join over 4,000 plus Fightful Select subscribers. All right, let's get into this, guys. Night two, which featured a lot of really good wrestling, guys. Let's do this. It opened up the night. Again, we're not talking about pre-show matches. I'm just getting into the main card, everybody. I woke up at 6 a.m. to watch this show. We got the three-way tag team match, which was Robbie Eagles and Tiger Mask teaming up together to face Taguchi and Rocky Romero to take on Ishimori and El Fantasmo. So this was a fun opener, polar opposite of the night before. This was a fast-paced lucha-style match, very, very enjoyable. And I really need to highlight a specific person in this match because I thought this person did a phenomenal job and probably had some of the best definitely shined the brightest in this, and that was Robbie Eagles. Dude, he was very, very impressive in this match. Like, he was he looked really good. Damn, I really feel we got to give him his kudos on this one because I think that he kind of brought this match to kind of made it just a little bit more exciting. But honestly, every single guy in this match went out there. They all brought something different to the table. Again, like I said, this was a very fast-paced lucha-style match. So you did get to see, you know, a little bit of everything, which I appreciated. There was a there was an interesting little moment during this match. So we had El Fantasmo, who essentially has been doing this whole, like, loaded boot gimmick. So that's why you saw a lot of people sell the boot a lot, because he's doing the loaded boot gimmick. So during this match, they take off the boot and it turns out that he has, like, this metal piece inside his boot. And so he essentially gets kicked out of this match, and they basically carry him away, which was kind of funny. But to be honest, like, I like this, but I don't necessarily like it either, because I almost feel like when I watch New Japan, I'm not necessarily always there for these types of, like, I like to just watch, like, straight wrestling. So for me, this kind of took away from the momentum that these guys had. It kind of took away from the flow of the match. And obviously it pertained to the story that they're telling, but it kind of killed the flow a little bit for me because it was a major, like, stop and then go moment. So I wasn't necessarily in love with that, but either way, pertain to the story, so I guess we can't complain too much. But Robbie Eagles, Tiger Mask end up winning this match, retain the titles. Good for them. I enjoy their work, so a really nice opening match here. All right, guys. We got somebody here who says it's 3 a.m. and I'm here for New Japan Review, Denise. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it. Let's get into this next one. So this one is kind of a big deal because it was the start of match, and this was the first time that you're seeing a women's match on the actual main card of Wrestle Kingdom. Normally, they are usually on the pre-show due to broadcasting rights. So you don't normally get to see these women's matches on the main card. So this was fun, all right? So this match, I think, was a little bit under 10 minutes, and these women literally utilized each and every single minute of this match. We had Tam Nakano versus Saya Kamitani versus Mayu Iwatani and Starlight Kid. I hope I got this pronunciations correct. If I didn't, please forgive me. Before I get into that, give me 1 second. I'm going to make sure that I... all right. So we did get a Humper Chat. So thank you so much to R26 who sent in a Humper Chat for this match. R26 says, the women of stardom showed out. Hopefully it leads to more showcases and maybe even some title matches on future shows. Dude, I, like, honestly, when you go out there and you are in this position to essentially really be, you know, to be the first and to have this position, you really need to go out there and do your very best. Like, you need to, there's no room for errors. Like, you're judged at a different, you know, at a different microscope, right? So for me, I really have to applaud them because, like I said, this match was under 10 minutes and every single minute was entertaining. Very, very entertaining. So we did see Tam and Saya win this match. We saw a beautiful Phoenix Splash for the win. But before that, let's talk a little bit about some of the people that I kind of felt shined a little bit more in this match and some of the good things that we saw. So again, fast-paced action the entire time. Really kept the action going. Lots of very high energy, beautiful suplexes throughout this entire match. Really good stuff. But I do want to... I do want to highlight Starlight Kid. I think that Starlight Kid kind of brought something a little bit more unique to this match. And I kind of want to make sure to give her flowers on this one because she brought uniqueness to it. And for me, it kind of took the match to another level. And again, this was a short match, but either way, it still kind of presented It just made it better. So I do want to give her a shout out for that, because I think she was my favorite of the match and really made me enjoy it. So I do got to say kudos to all four women in this match. It was really fun and really joyful to see. Very joyful to see. Really, really appreciated it. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on. Before we do, let's get some comments in here, because I know some people are sending comments. So I want to make sure to read this one. This one's from Vash, who says, the start of match ruled that Phoenix Splash was flush. That was really good stuff. We got a comment from Mayor, who says, Super Junior's obviously stacked this year. Robbie Eagles always delivers. Love El Fantasmo. Also, can't believe they accessed the loaded boot. Yeah, really good stuff. Well, A Man of Culture says, Stardom did well choosing who wrestled this match. They couldn't have picked four better wrestlers for the time that they were allotted. Really, really like that. Completely agree with that. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on. So this next match here was pretty fast, but it was a quick match, but it was action-packed and probably better than some of the other stuff that we have seen in the past with this. So this is the King of Pro Wrestling trophy match. We had the last four guys from the Rambo, which were Chase Owens, Shima, and Minoru Suzuki, and Toru Yano. So what you had here was three solid workers and then the comedy of Toru Yano. So for me, I think that this was kind of an improvement on the past King of Pro Wrestling matches, because normally those matches are defended in like silly gimmick matches where you have like they're voted on by the fans. So you have like a tequila drinking contest or a blindfold match or like a one arm tied behind your back type of match. So this was just a four-way, which was kind of the gimmick, was the fact that it was a four-way, but you don't normally get the caliber of workers that you got in this match with Shima and Suzuki. So for me, I kind of feel like that, you know, just made it feel a little bit more special, right? We do end up seeing Suzuki get the win with the Gotch style pile driver, and he gets his trophy. He ends up pinning Toru Yano, gets his trophy, and then post-match there was this really funny moment, because post-match he puts Toru Yano in a sleeper, and then Yano freaking gets the handcuffs and handcuffs him to the ropes. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, are you nuts? You literally just handcuffed Minoru Suzuki to the ropes. So that was funny, a cute little moment, very enjoyable. Definitely something that felt a little bit special here. Now, this next match, guys, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm going to be so honest here with this next match, and forgive my brutal honesty, but this match was not that great. We had the Never Six-Man Tag Team titles, the House of Torture, Evil, Takahashi, and Sho versus Hiroki, Goto, Yoshihashi, and Yo. This was not good, guys. This was not a great match for me. I was so bored out of my mind. And like I said, I was watching. This is where I came up with the watching House of Torture matches at 6 a.m. is torture, because I did not like this match whatsoever. We did get to see them get the win. They won via low blow and the use of a wrench. So that's it. I don't even want to talk about this match. We're moving on because that was not good. All right, guys. Let's get into this. Let's get into the Noah stuff, because as you all know, Wrestle Kingdom Night 3, we are going to be getting the Noah guys versus the New Japan guys. So we had the Noah guys come out, and this was great. I love this, because they're basically talking about them being the number one promotion, and they're going to, you know, bring down New Japan, and they're going to be the number one promotion, right? But what I particularly liked about this was everything that Kenno did. Kenno does not do friendly invasions. He does not do friendly invasions. He went off, okay? And obviously, you know, I don't speak the language, but based on how it was delivered and based on what commentary was translating, I thought that this was pretty funny, because he basically buries the attendance. He buries the attendance, even though they have obviously the COVID restrictions, but he buries the attendance and just I thought that was really funny. And he just kind of continues, you know, going off and, you know, is burying everybody, burying the people and everything. I just kind of thought that it was funny that he doesn't do these friendly invasions. Shingo ends up coming out. He addresses them. Then he kind of, you know, realizes that they're outnumbered. So he ends up going back. So this was fun. I really like that. All right, guys. So here we go. Let's go ahead and move on. So I actually want to pull up a couple of super Humper chats that we got. These ones do not pertain to a certain match, but I want to read them right now. This one is from Luis Hernandez. So thank you so much to Luis Hernandez for sending in a Humper chat. He says, haven't seen Wrestle Kingdom, but here to show Denise and Fightful love. I appreciate it, guys. It is not easy to, you know, do a solo show by yourself, which I do a lot, but also, you know, to recap two shows that had like a million matches. It's a lot of information that you got to retain. So I really appreciate, you know, Fightful giving me the opportunity to come out here and do this with you guys. And also just the opportunity to get to talk about something that isn't WWE or AEW. It gives me a little bit of a, you know, just a different scenery, that's for sure. On top of that, guys, if you're watching live, or if you watch the replay of this, or you're listening on the audio version, wherever you're listening, please, if you enjoyed this post show, I urge you, like, go and like tweet and say like, hey, good job, or like, not good job, but like, let people know you enjoyed the post show, because that helps me out a whole lot. You know, if I want to do, you know, more shows in the future, that opportunity will be there. The amount of positive feedback that I got when I did the Triple Mania show, that was amazing feedback. So that was really, really good for me, at least. But on top of that, it really just helps continue to grow Fightful. Like I mentioned on here, this channel is growing, and they're growing everywhere. So make sure you guys are part of that. Make sure you guys support whenever you guys can. And that includes, you know, hopping into the streams, etc. You guys know, we all grow together. We also have another Humper chat. This one is from Jose Vivian, who says, hola, Denise. I miss Jay White. With him and Ibushi these years, this year's show felt a little light. Hopefully, King Switchblade finds his way back to Japan soon, maybe after a stop or two at AEW. Yeah, and I got to talk to Jay White. When did I get to talk to him? God, when was it? What, a month ago, maybe? Maybe a little less than that? I don't remember when I got to talk to him. I think it was like a month ago. Thank you so much to Jose for sending in that Humper chat. We also have another Humper chat from DKC Returns, who says, what up, gang? Here's a few bugs. Hella love me some Denise and the Grab City Boys of Distraction. Kate, Alex, all great content with great personalities. Fightful, hella humps. Fightful definitely humps. So if you we appreciate the love. Thank you so much to DKC Returns for supporting the entire Fightful community. All right, guys, let's continue on, because we still got more to talk about in this Night 2 Wrestle Kingdom. Once again, guys, before I continue on, friendly reminder, if you want to send in a super chat or a Humper chat, you are more than welcome to. Again, and just continue supporting this show. But now let's get into another time for Denise to bury somebody. Oh, God. All right. Great Okan versus Sonata. No, I don't care. I have to be very honest, guys. Oh, this match was not good. This was not for me. This was not for me. I'm not a fan of the Great Okan. Pardon me. Pardon me. I'm not a fan. All right. So here we go. Proceed with the burial here. I'm gonna do it in a nice way, though. I don't know how to do it in a nice way. God, where do I begin? All right. This is all gimmick, but not the kind of gimmick that I enjoy. I felt that everything he did in this match was very, very slow, very, very dull, and everything looked fake. I'm sorry, but I do not love it. I did not love this match. You know, his whole thing is that he likes to work on the face. So he does a bunch of face plants and all of that. And I get it. There's reason to that. I appreciate that aspect of it. But the offense looks stupid. So I was not a fan of that. So for me, this felt like a lot of waiting around. This felt like a lot of Sonata, you know, really waiting. Like, it was not believable. A lot of the stuff that we saw in this match wasn't believable for me. So I thought that it went too long. Sonata ended up getting the win. And when this match ended, I said, thank God. So personally, sorry for being brutally honest, but this match was not for me. August 3 says, don't be nice with the burial. I have to be nice with the burials, guys. Like, at least I try to be nice, but there's no nice way to bury someone. There really isn't. But dang, I just was not a fan of this. And I'd rather be honest with you guys and, you know, take some heat for that than not be honest and, you know, just pretend like I like everything. But I'm not burying Sonata. Like, I'm literally just burying freaking Great O'Conn. This match was not that great. I would have loved to see Sonata versus anybody else. Apparently, my hand sanitizer would be better. But let's go ahead and jump in. People want to know if the Great O'Conn was replaced by the Great O'Shawn. Would this match be better? Yeah, which is saying a whole lot. All right, but let's get into a match that I did love. Please, I love this match. Naito versus Jeff Cobb. So first and foremost, damn, Jeff Cobb, like every time I see him, the guy just gets like bulkier and bulkier. And Jeff Cobb is a great guy, guys. Like, I'm a big fan of Jeff Cobb. You know, I got to interview him a couple years ago, and he's just a really good guy, really nice personality, very down to earth. And I love to see him, you know, anytime I can see him wrestle, it's a joy for me to watch. So seeing him in this match with Naito, I really, really appreciated it. Now, here's the things that I do want to get at and why I enjoyed this match. So aside from it being visually pleasing, it was a simple story here. And the simple story, this is the best way to describe it. You have Naito working the knee of Jeff Cobb throughout this entire match. And you have Jeff Cobb just basically showing how strong he is. And that is always impressive to see. And so you saw that throughout this entire match. Very simple, but entertaining as hell. Naito ended up winning with the Destino, and it was honestly one of the best matches of the night. Very effective and very entertaining. If you did not watch Wrestle Kingdom Day 2, and you're like, let me pick and choose what matches to watch, I highly recommend you watch Naito versus Jeff Cobb. It was good stuff, guys. Really good stuff. Alrighty, everybody. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's see what we got here after this. All right, we got two more matches and then we are, it's a wrap. Yes. All right. So let's do this. I love this match. Okay. So this next match was definitely my favorite out of both nights. This was dope. This was super cool. We had Tanahashi versus Kenta in a no DQ match for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship. This was really awesome. So first and foremost, in New Japan, these DQ matches are a rarity. And this was a straight hardcore match. And especially to see a guy like Hiroshi Tanahashi in this match, a guy of his position in a match like this, it's not very often that you see that. And that was obviously a big part of this story leading into this match and also during this match. But they did a lot in this that I wouldn't say was like outrageous by any means, but it was amazingly entertaining. So let's talk about some of the moments that I really like. So obviously you're seeing the utilization of a lot of the weapons, and you know, we're seeing chairs and ladders and tables. That's what I meant, ladders and tables. And so there's this moment where we're seeing Tanahashi try to set up a table, and it was like the best thing ever because he was kind of struggling, which makes sense to the story, right? It makes total sense, but it was so enjoyable to see. Then there was a moment where I was kind of like, oh, shoot. So there was a guitar spot. There was a spot where Tanahashi gets the guitar and literally just like bangs it over his head, right? Over Kenta's head. But here's the thing. I'm pretty positive that was a shoot guitar because, dude, you could see the indentation of his head in the guitar, but the guitar didn't like explode like it normally does. Like you usually see guitar shots and you see the pieces of the guitar, you know, flying everywhere. You didn't see that here. It was like a very simple indentation. And then that was like kind of the end of it. So for me, I thought that was a really, really cool spot there to kind of see. BTW, before I continue on, we got a major super chat. Thank you so much to Steven Turner for sending in a super chat. Thank you very much. Steven says, I was there at the Dome in the second row for night two. Can happily die having seen Tanahashi do a high fly flow off a ladder through a table. Mere meters away from me. Love the night overall. And dude, first of all, awesome that you got to experience that. And on top of that, like we're talking about how Hiroshi Tanahashi, we don't normally see him in this kind of a match. So I was thinking too, like when I was watching the show, I was like, damn, like COVID really sucks, man. Like, can you imagine like being in the crowd and like wanting to like mark out for some of the stuff you're seeing and obviously having to kind of, you know, hold yourself back a little bit. I was thinking about that during this, but obviously, dude, like it was very enjoyable. I think you got to witness a really phenomenal thing. So thank you so much to Steven for sending in the super chat. Let's continue on some other, because there was more awesome moments. We saw Tanahashi do a sling blade on a pile of chairs to Kenta. That was really good. But one of the parts that I really liked was when Tanahashi went to the top row and did the high fly flow from the top rope. But he was originally, so, you know, Kenta was still on the pile of chairs. So he was, you know, aiming at Kenta on the pile of chairs, but Kenta moves out of the way and Tanahashi just goes, you know, right into the pile of chairs. And I love this. And the reason why I love this more is because usually when guys know that, you know, the person's going to move out of the way, they kind of change a little bit of how they do, you know, their moves to, you know, minimize the impact, right? And Tanahashi did not do that. Like, he did not minimize the impact whatsoever. He went straight to it, like if Kenta wasn't going to move out of the way. So personally, for me, that added so much more to this. We saw Kenta do a Falcon Arrow to Tanahashi, putting him through a table. That was really cool. And then there was a little bit of an awkward moment, but awkward, but hilarious. So we saw Kenta setting up a ladder. Obviously, the ladders are different than the ladders, you know, you see in WWE and AEW and all of that. So you see him set up this really tall ladder, but the little things in the middle that you have to like connect, he kind of struggled a little bit, right? And it was funny though. It was funny because he was struggling and with everybody being so quiet, it kind of felt a little bit awkward. But I kind of thought that it was kind of funny. And then on top of that, eventually, like towards the end, the crowd starts like clapping and like, you know, encouraging him. So I really, really, I like that. I don't know why, but I found that incredibly interesting. All right, let's get into the more stuff that happened. This next spot was absolutely brutal. We saw Kenta go to the top of the ladder. Tanahashi essentially shakes the ladder, drops him, and he ends up going straight into a trash bin, but not into the trash bin. Like, he hits the trash bin, right? And immediately you see the camera shot of his face. From the looks of it, his face hit like kind of the corner of that trash bin. And Kenta is like busted open. He gets busted open immediately from that spot. So that was really, that was sick. That was really brutal. And then finally, for the finish, this was a phenomenal way to close off this match. We see Tanahashi go to the top of the ladder and do a high fly flow from the top of the ladder onto Kenta, who is on a table. And that is how he ends up getting the win. That was a really good way to finish the match. It was exciting. And as somebody mentioned earlier from this, Steven Turner, as he mentioned, that was a really, I could only imagine being there. That must have been really, really fun to see. So good stuff, man. If you did, again, if you did not watch Wrestle Kingdom Night 2, make sure to watch this match. This is a can't miss match. It can't miss match. All right, guys, we are moving on to the final match of the night. Before we do, I want to throw in a couple of plugs before we get into the final match. If you haven't subscribed to Fightful over here on YouTube, please make sure you guys click that subscribe button. I know Sean and the entire Fightful team is working really hard to get to that 100K mark by the end of the year. If I can be a smart part of that and convince you guys to click that subscribe button, please make sure you do. And on top of that, if you haven't followed me on Twitter and or on Instagram, I am @_DeniseSalcedo. I am officially less than 1,000 followers away from 50K. So you guys can go ahead and click that follow button. But now let's get into the main event of the night. We had Okada versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. This was another really good match. I honestly thought that I was going to like this match more than the Tanahashi-Kenta match, but I ended up liking it just a little bit less than that one because I think that match was just so you know, so special, I think. So I ended up liking that match more, but I don't want it to take away anything from this match because this match was very entertaining. You have two guys, Okada and Will Ospreay, who are just, you know, so good at what they do. Will Ospreay is actually one of my favorite wrestlers, period, because he wrestles the style that I particularly tend to enjoy a little bit more. So for me, like, I'm always been like, you know, a fan of Will Ospreay's. But anyways, so some cool spots in this. We see Ospreay literally do a moonsault off of a truss, which was really cool to see. That was fun. Okada kind of barely caught him in that spot, but it still looks super cool regardless. After this, we saw this really awesome moment where we saw Ospreay do two shooting star presses. He did one where Okada was literally like balancing it in between the ropes. And then he did one on Okada when he was in the center of the ring. So it was kind of cool to see both of those shooting star presses back to back. I was a fan of that. Also in this match, we saw Will Ospreay essentially mock Okada by doing the Rainmaker pose. And Okada clearly doesn't like, he's not going to like that whatsoever. So Okada ends up hitting him with the Stormbreaker. He hits him with the Stormbreaker. That was kind of cool to see, kind of getting revenge for him, mocking him by using Ospreay's finishing maneuver. So that was pretty cool. They exchange forearms back and forth. I like how the crowd, you know, claps along whenever they do the, you know, the forearm exchange. That was pretty nice. I think it adds a little something to it. But in the end, we do see Okada retain the title, hits the Rainmaker, gets the win in this match. Overall, a nice performance by both guys. Really good stuff there. And then post-match, we do get Naito challenging Okada, guys. So that is pretty much what went down at Wrestle Kingdom night one and night two. But let's get some comments here. Let's see if we got some interesting stuff here. This one's from Mayor, who says, Tanahashi has the best frog splash in the business. Also, the drop kick into the corner on Tanahashi with a massive pile of chairs. That was disgusting. Greg Carter says, it being 6 a.m. Eastern time made Kenta's nose look worse. Dude, I can imagine. Mayor says his nose looked broken at the bridge. Completely brutal injury. Yeah, it definitely did not. It was not pretty to see whatsoever. Definitely not pretty. But anyways, all right, guys, there you go. That was night one, night two. Night three will be taking place on Friday. We're going to have New Japan versus Noah, and that is going to be 9 matches. And on top of that, they have 2 dark matches, so 11 matches total, but 9 matches for the main card. So that should be a pretty fun and eventful night. But that is pretty much it, guys. I want to thank you guys so much for joining the show. Please, once again, if you watch this live or if you watch this on the replay, please go ahead and leave a nice comment, leave a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. If you guys enjoyed this show, please let me know. Let Sean know so he knows to hire me back once again. Other than that, guys, thank you guys so much. Have a good night, everybody, and I'll see you guys. Oh wait, don't go anywhere, I forgot. Oh my god, when is it? Oh yeah, Saturday I will be here for Hard to Kill with Steven Jensen. It'll be myself and Steven Jensen talking about Impact Wrestling Hard to Kill. That card looks very, very good. I cannot wait to talk about that with Steven Jensen. We've done shows in the past talking about Impact, and we've always had a really good time. So please make sure that you guys tune in for that. It's going to be a good time. And the last super chat of the day, which I will be reading, which is from Christopher Jazz Cat, who says, Happy New Year, all. Really enjoyed both nights of Wrestle Kingdom. Ospreay versus Okada had an awesome story with Ospreay having an answer to Okada's signature stuff. I appreciate it. Thank you so much to Christopher Jazz Cat for ending us off with that super chat. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you guys so much. And I will see you guys back here on Saturday for Impact Wrestling Hard to Kill. Goodbye, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.